Today on Real Radio.
I believe somebody can come up and almost flatline dead. And on a breathing machine if necessary for them to be alive, but give a Bible verse and their ministry will be effective. You can talk about all the worldly stuff in the world and it won't help anybody. But when the Holy Spirit lifts the verse up off the Bible and embeds it upon your heart, it'll change your life. It's awesome.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. For the past few months, we've been in this series that Pastor Jack's bringing to a close, the You Need to Know series. It's aimed at helping us become a disciple through the doctrines of God by helping us understand what we believe and why we believe it. Today, Pastor Jack addresses the issues that originally inspired him to bring this series. He recaps where we've come and has a challenge for us in the end. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Today, we put a bookend or a capstone upon this series that I want to be very careful that I don't go into the preaching or teaching mode as tradition would have it, because I want today, and I beg the Holy Spirit to make today as though you and I were sitting across the table with coffee talking about the things of God. And so 6 or 7 months ago, You Need to Know was born out of, quite frankly, an awareness that came to me on this campus or in the local store or stores, meeting up with people. And the issues that gave birth to this doctrinal series so troubled me. And I want to both address that today, recap where we've come, and challenge you in the end. I am absolutely committed to the teaching of God's Word. I pray in such a way, so much so, without apology. God's Word is true. The Bible says, let every man be a liar, right? That means God alone speaks the truth. We know no truth without God's truth. And without doctrine, we have no hope. This morning you're here, and look at you, godly group of people. First service, you're amazing. But you've come to hear from God. You believe your Bible. You believe God. And you come to church. This is an accent. This is salt and pepper to your Christianity this morning is. But you've come to hear from God, from His Word. And when I say salt and pepper, I mean that every day of the week for you as a believer, you're living your life, you're learning from God, you're walking with God, and what is called these convocations, that's what it is when God's people come together. It's a convocation. We're commanded in Scripture to convocate. We would call that the General Assembly or church, where a couple of times a week for some of us, we come together and we look at God's Word to have Him speak to us. But He's always speaking. But these concerns spoke to me. And so this series that we end today came out of conversations that just happened between myself and others in this community. And three things have not escaped my memory. Number one, I heard this. The Jesus of Islam and Judaism and the cults, it's the same Jesus, right? I also heard this. All I have to do is ask Jesus to forgive me and He forgives me, right? And then what might be the genesis for all of these ill and wrong views and thoughts and sentiments is I just simply ask my friend to believe in Jesus and he got saved. That's all that was said. No, no to these. No, no, no to these. Thus, we embarked upon this doctrinal series that I said in the beginning, I was willing to empty out this church so that the truth would be told, so that I, on the day of judgment as a pastor, would not have to stand before God and be in great trouble for never asking you are never making it very, very super duper clear to you. What are the essentials of Christianity? And I got to tell you, listen, we've been in this actually 7 months. And we end today, but really, this is not the end, because it is incumbent now upon you. I've only put oil under the wheels. It's now time for you, if you never have, to embark upon your own consistent, continuous study of the doctrines of God. Because, my dear friend, from the beginning I said, you cannot claim to believe in that which you cannot defend or define. When you say you believe in Jesus, you and I live in an age where we have to ask, Jesus who? Because as Paul the Apostle warned, there are many Jesuses out there in the world today. And so there is in our day. When you say things like, all I've got to do is ask God to forgive me, right? Wrong. There is no salvation, as we'll be reminded in a moment, without repentance. You can't get saved unless you know you're absolutely lost. And that lost condition is what offended and separated you from God. And then when we say, well, you know, I just asked my friend if he believed in Jesus. He said yes, so he's going to go to heaven. That is not salvation. That is not preaching the gospel. That is not evangelism. The Bible says that the devils believe and tremble at the name and thought of God, but they're condemned to hell. It is absolutely essential, and I'm preaching, literally teaching to the choir today. You, this church, if you're visiting, just listen. But today is church, as it were, in the home, this house. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 27, verse 23, that it is incumbent upon God's ministers to be diligent to know the state of your flocks and to attend to your herds. It's an important thing. God wants us to understand. And this is where we embarked upon. By way of remembrance, church, we talked about the need for you to know about the revelation of God. And that's where we started. But remember, with each of these points, there's no ending to your in-depth study. It will take you the rest of your life to fathom the depths of number one, as we looked at the revelation of God, the Lord. He is God and the characteristics of God. And we looked at the amazing thing, Christian, that regarding God, that all about him is the fact that he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's everywhere. The characteristics of God, the revelation of God. The next thing we looked at in that series of ours is that you needed to know all about God the Holy Spirit. We talked about who he is. The Holy Spirit. Listen, some of you have come out of faith groups that do not acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Some of you, I know, we've talked together. No, Pastor. We were taught in our upbringing that it's an impersonal power. It's like Luke Skywalker in The Force Be With You. But it's not a person. Oh, no, he's a person. And we looked at the details about the Holy Spirit, and when we end today, we'll be going back to the Holy Spirit. He is the very one that opens your eyes to your need for salvation. Maybe you're here today, and you're thinking, what on earth am I doing here? This guy mentioned sin, and 2 minutes into his message, I'm highly offended. I need God. Yeah, listen, the Holy Spirit is speaking that truth to everybody, but not everyone's open to hearing him. The Holy Spirit is the one that we are to be relating to. Jesus, listen, Jesus is enthroned in heaven above. Right now, it's your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Right now. How close are you in your, as Charles Spurgeon said, your intercourse with the Holy Spirit? Is God so real and personal to you? If he is, it's by the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Never, never fall for the lie. Never swallow the lie of the enemy that says, well, the Holy Spirit, you need to be kind of scared of him. You need to be kind of a little intimidated by him. I know pastors who in services, they're fearful of the Holy Spirit taking charge. I beg the Holy Spirit takes charge in these services of ours. I don't want to show up unless he's here. I can only do what I can do. You and I can only do what we can do. It's up to the Holy Spirit. He's alive. And without the Holy Spirit present in this church, using the Word of God, you say, why do you give so many verses in your messages? Because look, I may be ugly, but I'm not stupid. I figured something out. A lot of Bible, Holy Spirit can use it. I believe somebody can come up and be almost flatline dead. And on a breathing machine, if necessary, for them to be alive, but give a Bible verse, and their ministry will be effective. You can talk about all the worldly stuff in the world, and it won't help anybody. But when the Holy Spirit lifts the verse up off the Bible and embeds it upon your heart, it'll change your life. It's awesome. Number three, we looked at the need for us to know all about the gospel truth, the amazing gospel, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, it's available to anyone who will ask, anyone who will seek him, that they would not perish but have everlasting life. The gospel, it's the very reason why ministry takes place at all. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Why? Because listen, we talked about this. There are churches that started and failed. What happened? We've all seen church startups and then they blow away. What's the difference? What happened? What's up? That will happen. Listen, look, churches will come and go. But Jesus says, I will build, qualifying statement, he will do it. What? My church. I'll build it, Jesus said. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. If there's a church of 10 people or a church of 10,000 people, if it's, listen, being built by Jesus, you can't stop it. When does a work die? When it forgets Jesus. Jesus, in his own writing, in the last words of Christ in the book of Revelation, warns the church at Ephesus of a grave danger that they had left their first love. Their relationship with Jesus was no longer hot. And the very thing which Bible doctrine should create in your life is a drive to get to know God more. I need to say this now because my wife's not here. She'll be here at second and third. Peter tells us that we need to have hot hearts. He uses the word in the Old King James. I believe the Old King James version is fervent hearts. The word in the Greek is hot. Hot hearts. Tozer talked about those hot hearts as being the fellowship of the burning heart. He said, all those who know that have a hot heart for God. There's an attractiveness. There's a relationship with that. So yesterday, and it wasn't because my wife was here at this amazing conference that you all ladies had, but she came home and don't get any ideas. I was studying the Bible. Nothing happened. But she walked in and she's just so beautiful. She said, man, you're beautiful. Oh, what do you do? What are you saying that for? You know, the conference was about intimacy and all. And I got work to do. But, this is what 36 years of marriage will do for you. I just kept, I got to look at her again. She drives me crazy. And you know what? You think about what God has engineered for us in relationship, and then you think about the relationship that God has engineered for us forever. Jesus drives me crazy. See, what do you mean? He's so kind. He's so forgiving. He's so loving. You know what? He's always talking to me. You know what my stupid problem is? I don't listen all the time. He's always talking. He's so excited. And he says things like this. Hey, Jack, come here. Come over here. Let's take a walk. Always. The fellowship of the burning heart. He's inviting you. Listen, why is this important? Do you know this? Do you know what it's like? If you don't have this, listen, God is speaking to you right now. If you don't have this, get it. It's available. It's free. Free for the asking. You may be a Christian, but your life is sterile. That gospel truth transforms your life, which led us to number four, being born again. All about being born again. My dear friends, listen, so many, and I know I'm going to get in trouble when I say this, it's okay, it's worth it. I know you, I've met so many of you, not all of you, but so many of you attend local Catholic churches in the region, and you've told me you come here for Bible study. I'm blessed by that. I'm not disparaging that. And then you go to Mass. Listen, we'll take you any way we get you. Because Jesus said, unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. Born from above, born anew, born a second time, the meaning of that word. And we studied that. We looked at that in detail. You've got to be born again. Which led us to what was our most controversial topic of all through the series. And I found it extremely interesting and so predictable, because I said from the beginning of this particular topic regarding all and what you need to know about salvation is that it was going to challenge the legalist. And that I said, what I'm about to say in that series, there will be those who will say, Pastor, don't say that publicly. People will take it the wrong way. I could care less about that, because you know what? Jesus said, don't worry. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. You understand that? I trust him 100% on this topic. Well, don't tell people that if they're truly born again, that they can't be unborn again, because the fear, they need that fear, that insecurity to keep them on the straight and narrow. That is spiritual prostitution, ladies and gentlemen, and an offense to God. I stress the issue that, number one, have you repented of your sins? The word was metanoia. Remember that word? That went right through or right over the head of some people regarding the doctrine of salvation. There is no salvation without repentance. It's the first word of the gospel. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, says the Bible. But listen, here's the push. If you're truly, the word is regenerate, or have by the Holy Spirit been regenerated or born again, transformed, if the Spirit of God, the Bible says, dwells in you, he has sealed you into the day of redemption. That means, listen, if you are truly born again, you are going to be born again. Even if you, like Jonah, get in a boat and try to flee from the presence of God, he will hunt you down. Here's this challenge, and this is what people freaked out about, is don't assume you're born again. A lot of people today think they're going to heaven, and I personally believe they are not going. They have deceived themselves. They've got religion, but they know not God. They've jumped through the hoops, but they don't know him. They've never experienced what it is to have that amazing, I don't know what to say, shocking revelation that though we are closer to God than we ever have been, yet at the end of the day, we are sinners saved by the grace of God. That when you and I enter heaven, it will not matter one iota what we've achieved. It will be that we are sinners saved by the grace of God. No matter what great works we've ever done, which are wonderful, what are they for? To glorify his name, not to earn points. There's no point. Listen, this is God's church. It's not American Express travel points. Well, you've got 200 points. No, you don't. You've got no points. It's the blood of Christ and no points. And that assurance is power and comfort and joy. But don't assume you're saved, my dear friend, which led us to a very long series, and we just ended it. And that was the doctrine of future things. That for the Christian, our future's before us. Mark it down, you guys, if you would. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. That's our. That's where we'll launch out. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Listen, everybody, by way of review, by recap, by settling this all in, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." Listen up, everybody. "I did not come," Jesus said, "to destroy, but to fulfill." Listen, mark it. Record this down for people in your life that you know who are using the Word of God as a cloak for sin, who are using the Word of God to cover themselves. Jesus said, Old and New Testament, he says, "I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets." Do you know what that means? Simple meaning. Nobody's confused by it except this generation. Well, the Old Testament, that's the old stuff. Doesn't apply to us. Tell that to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you need to keep the Ten Commandments. No man can. My Jewish friends, God bless you. But nobody can keep the Ten Commandments. Are they amazing? Yes. Are they pure? Holy? Yes. You can keep them physically on the outward before man, but God knows what's in your heart. It's not the law inscribed upon stone. It is the spirit of the law that God will hold us accountable to. It's very serious. Jesus said, "I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets." Why? Because I can't. He went on in Matthew 5:18, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle, one comma, one hyphen of the Hebrew language will by no means pass from the law till" what? "All is fulfilled." The word "all" here means, are you ready? Write this down. Don't miss it. It means all. The word means every bit, everything. Listen, the word means the whole of, the entirety. The word means the word or words. By the way, the ancient rabbis and conservative rabbis today say this still, and I like it. Listen, that when the Messiah comes, he will not only correctly interpret the word of God perfectly to us, but he will even interpret what is meant between the lines. I love that. That's a high view of God's word. Will you mark that down? We are to have a high view of God's word. That's why we brought you this series. Do you have a high view of God's word? Is it priority one in your life? Is God's word the first thing you consult? Listen, do you have to make a decision? You consult God's word? Listen, daily, do you consult his word? Do you pursue his word? And I'm not talking about illegalism. "Well, I got to read the Bible today." We get to crack open the eternal word of God. Dear God in heaven, this is your eternal word.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called "It's Time to Do What You Know," a special lesson in which Pastor Jack recaps with us the entire series we just went through over the past few months. It's a series called "You Need to Know." Pastor Jack helps us to understand through the doctrines of God what we believe and why we believe it. It's a series that really helps both longtime and new believers grow closer to God. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio.
Well, you guys, listen, I know this almost sounds a little bit routine, but I keep endorsing and encouraging books like this one, Sam Adams' A Life by Ira Stoll. You say, "Well, Jack, don't you put forth a lot of American history type books and stuff?" And I do, for this reason. This book, among the others that we promote, are completely full of biblical references. That's the great heritage regarding America. Sam Adams, a Harvard graduate from the Divinity School, Samuel Adams, the Patriot founder, was the very spirit behind the American Revolution. But where did he get that from? In his own words, Sam Adams will tell you, he got it from God's work in the nation of Israel as he brought them out of Egypt. He likened our experience to those of the early Israelites, and I think you'll find this a tremendous blessing. Please make it a read, and you'll see the benefits of this excellent book.
Samuel Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. It's available at our website, jackhibbs.com, for a gift of any amount, so be sure to order your copy right away. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.